Einstein once wrote that imagination is more important than knowledge. Can you imagine such a guy who made all that science says that imagination is more important than knowledge? There once was a 9-year-old child in school, and it was art class, and so she was making this art, drawing. And the teacher came up to her and said, what are you drawing? And she says, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher says, well, nobody knows what God looks like. And she didn't even skip a beat, and she said, well, they will in a minute. And I just love that. I just love that. Through the eyes of a child, her imagination, of course, was informed by her theology. I mean, look at her theology. You see there's a cat and a dog. You know the theology of cats and dogs, right? Cats look down on you. Dogs look up to you. A dog will treat you as if you're a god. A cat will say, I'm God. Yeah, so that's good. I just love that creativity. And of course, God is happy and he's waving. And how many fingers does he have? Or is that an ice cream cone? Well, maybe so. Maybe the Ten Commandments. Are there 10 things there? Most people would have fewer. So this is what he said. I'm enough of an artist to draw freely upon my imagination. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited, but imagination encircles the world. I mean, it's so profound and so, so interesting. So during this session, we're going to explore imagination and also its related cousins. And what are the cousins of imagination? Well, I want you to see that this is kind of a progression, if you can see the faint line underneath the boxes. But beginning in the top left and ending in the bottom right. But I'm going to share thoughts about all of these categories, but some of the categories I'll say very little, some a little bit more. But just like in the creation, where God created the heavens and the earth, and some have heard me say before that underneath creating is creativity, and underneath creativity is always imagination. And so it just starts with this. Imagination, I believe, is something that God is. He is love. He has power. And you know, we have these different categories. So there's imagination. And I'm going to show this slide 3 times during my talk, but I'll just want to say, and creativity. And all are born with some sort of creativity. And the question, if you're an artist, often has to do with number 3. It's desire. Do we want to be? Do we have a passion for it? Can we not control ourselves? Encouragement is needed. Training. Inspiration. And we can say inspiration like from Scripture, but we can also say inspiration from life, from other artists, from all sorts of experiences. And then ideation. I'll define that a little bit later. And from ideation, there is design. And design is so important. And as we go on this last line, I'm going to deviate from what we have considered to be the fine arts to the art of design and how it has led to monumental changes in the world. And I think that we'll be fascinated by some of this. So, imagination itself. Clearly, Einstein understood that imagination and all of its cousins, like ideation, innovation, and change, They were indispensable to living life to the fullest. So, was he right? He said logic will get you from A to Z. Imagination will get you everywhere. Imagination is the highest form of research. Isn't that surprising to hear that from? But I think you have to imagine that there are solutions to these problems that others haven't imagined. I think it's extremely important. Sir Ken Robinson, he wrote, and he's passed away a couple of years ago. I just love this guy, all of his writings, his TED Talks and everything. He said, imagination is the ability to bring to mind the things that are not present. Wow. Each of these can be chewed on. There's a scientist, Carl Sagan. He said, imagination will often carry us to worlds that never were. But without it, we go nowhere. Isn't that interesting as well? Mm. That there is a connection between reality and imagination, but also a connection between imagination and dreams. Da Vinci himself, he said, art is the queen of all sciences, communicating knowledge to all the generations of the world. So art communicates knowledge. What an interesting relationship between all of that. Art is the queen of all sciences. And this is Da Vinci. Well, of course, Francis Schaeffer, whose little book, Art and the Bible, is really a must reading. If you don't have it, you can get it on Amazon. And it's extremely inexpensive. It's a little paperback book, about 50 years old. The Christian is the one whose imagination should fly beyond the stars. I love it. J.K. Rowling, what did she write? Yeah, Potter series. Imagination is not only the uniquely human capacity to envision that which is not, and therefore, and here's the key, the foundation of all invention and innovation. Imagination, foundation of invention, foundation of innovation. And towards the end, we're really going to focus on invention and innovation. George Bernard Shaw, imagination is the beginning of creation. Well, that almost sounds like Genesis 1. You imagine what you desire, you will desire what you imagine, and at last you can create what you will. I mean, that's, again, profound. One profundity after another. And it ties these categories. Well, and what about Picasso, whose theology I didn't like, but his creativity is inimitable. There is only one admirable form of imagination. The imagination that's so intense that it creates a new reality, that it makes things happen. Imagination, the reality, is more than decoration. It makes things happen. Perhaps that's called change. Perhaps that's called meeting needs, positing solutions to big and small issues. So then there's creativity. And it was one of the categories I mentioned earlier. And let's just look at what that is. Again, Ken Robinson. Creativity is the process of having original ideas that have value. It's a process. It's not random. Now, again, I mentioned the TED Talks by Ken Anderson. Search them out. His TED Talk from about 2007 or 8 on imagination, creativity, and education of children is the most watched of all the TED Talks of all time. It's so outstanding. And here we go again with the Spanish-French master. The chief enemy of creativity, said Picasso, is good sense. And again, here we come, Albert again. Creativity is intelligence having fun. Oh my, I like that. Yeah, yeah. How many of you have fun when you create? Yeah? Yeah, I sure do.
Except for when there's a writing
deadline. Yeah, well, then you have fun when it's done.
Right.
Yes. So
in fact, the process is more important than the result.
That's right. And that's hard to remember when we're in the middle of that process. And let's say we're an artist and we have a commission. You know, well, you know, the result's important, but you don't want to spoil the process as well. Well, how about Henri Matisse? Look what he said. Creativity takes courage. Now, last year we focused on that. We had a long list of what's the relationship between risk and creativity. But I like this. Here we go, Ken Robinson again. If you're not prepared to be wrong, you'll never come up with anything original. Isn't that amazing? And in church, do we have permission to be wrong? Maybe little kids do, but we often don't because churches play it safe. And then de facto, risk is not undertaken. I like this guy. I'm old enough to like Sting. And my grandchildren don't know who he is. But I heard him actually on an interview of a public radio interview. No, it was a TED Talk radio interview. And it said that he said that he was asked the question, what is creativity? And Sting said, it's the ability to take a risk. And I remember I was driving in the car and I heard that. And to actually put yourself on the line and risk ridicule, being pilloried, criticized, whatever, but you must take that risk. And then he described a seven-year period where he hadn't written anything because he had taken so much abuse for the music and the lyrics that he had written in the years before that he couldn't take it anymore. And at the same time, he was going crazy because he needed to get the creative stuff out. Now, ideation. Again, it's one of the cousins of imagination. And I wonder what that means. Have you ever been in a group? It could be at work, it could be with other artists, it could be at church, where you're brainstorming. You're writing down the different options here. And ideation is the capacity or the act of forming or entertaining ideas. And it's best if you're trying to solve a problem or to meet a need that you list a lot of options and you try to think them through. And great art, underneath all great art is great thinking. And I don't know in what piece of literature Picasso said the following, but I've known this for about 15 years. He said the most important thing about a painting is the idea. And when I was learning to paint, my teacher was telling me that all the time. The idea, what's your idea? So ideation refers to the whole creative process and developing and communicating new ideas. And there's no world change unless there's new ideas and the freedom to think them up. Ideation is innovative thinking. It's innovative thinking, solving a problem or providing a more efficient solution to that. In a moment or so, I'll give you some illustrations of that. It's thinking new ideas, developing existing ideas, and figuring out how to put new ideas into practice. Newness of life is something that the Lord Jesus has given to us when we came to him as Savior and Lord, that he's given us newness of life. Newness of life needs to carry on in all sorts of places. And we can be used of God as creative people in our thinking and then in our worldview. Now, this comes from the Lausanne movement, and it's a reflection of the Lausanne Covenant that was written in 1974 in Lausanne, Switzerland. And after that major conference, there was a series of small conferences, and that each produced an occasional paper. Well, the occasional paper 46 dealt with art and artists. And this is what the Lausanne document says. Artists need to put themselves in a position where their artistic concepts, language, and technique will be influenced by a biblical worldview, practical wisdom. So everybody does ideation. If you can do ideation, everybody has to think. But the challenge of the artist to follow Christ is to create and perform, or whatever we do, to do it through the filter, through the lens of a biblical worldview. Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to go back to the tables, but not quite yet. But we're going to discuss this question. How does your art meet needs or provide helpful solutions to church and society through the lens of a biblical worldview? I'm writing this question now because it's not an easy question. I just wanted to warn you. You may want to chew on that a little bit. And then from ideation and the worldview, we go to innovation. And this is pretty fun. Innovation is the action of doing something new, creating something new that revolutionizes, we hope. For example, the wheel. I'm glad I didn't live before there was the wheel. You know, because the wheel was invented before records were kept, nobody can ever know who invented the wheel. But scholars say that it was in ancient Mesopotamia, and it was invented between 4200 and 4000 BC. That's exactly during the time of Abraham. It's likely also to be invented independently in China about 1200 years later, without knowledge of the Mesopotamian wheel. Well, anyway, we don't need to talk about the wheel, but we understand the invention of the wheel changed everything. Okay, so back to the creative process, just to see the big picture again. Imagination, creativity, desire, encouragement, training. And I'll just make a couple of comments there, that encouragement for a child in art is so natural and it's so needed. And one of the things that Ken Robinson said is that when children first go to school, they all want to be artists. And when they finish school, very few do. And what happened is that they have been educated out of creativity. Wow, what a tragedy is that. And then, of course, you pass by some of these things which are important. Some of you went to art school or to music school, or you've taken private lessons or done a lot of reading and you're self-taught. And then comes design and making and innovation. And so let's look at some innovative things here. This changed the world. The printing press. Johannes Gutenberg, the German inventor and craftsman who introduced letterpress printing to Europe with his movable type printing press. And if you have one of those that were first published by Gutenberg, there were countless millions. But it was important that this printing press became popularized. And do you know how it became popularized? At the time, and this was in the 15th century, there was the building of St. Peter's Cathedral. And so the Pope, Pope Julius II, I believe, he was very much in favor of selling indulgences to the ignorant masses, and that for a certain cost, they can buy forgiveness. And by buying forgiveness, their time in purgatory will be limited or lessened or something. So what happened is that Gutenberg and his colleagues, they began to print indulgences on one big piece of paper, one at a time. But they were printed with movable type, and the church loved it. They began to sell those indulgences, and then they found out, well, the more of these documents that were printed, the more money they'll raise, etc. And then it was thousands were printed, then tens of thousands were printed, and all over the Holy Roman Empire, printing presses were created. Not because they wanted to print more Bibles, because very few people read, but because they wanted to print more indulgences. Maybe that's their way of printing paper money. Here's an innovation that's important. This is a Middle Ages castle, and the important person sits on top and the poor person on the bottom. Now, what was needed? Well, innovation, the flush toilet. And the guy's name was Crapper. And he was an English plumber and businessman. He was known most for his flush toilet. Can you imagine? Who are your ancestors? Oh, my great grandpa was Thomas Crapper. I don't know. It's probably on that thing, but I don't know. I think it's 19th century, but I don't know for sure. Well, and of course you have Thomas Edison, who was a great American inventor and a businessman, and of course, not necessarily the inventor of the light bulb, but inventor of improvements of the light bulb, inventor of electrical power generation systems. He was a specialist in mass communication, sound recording, and Thomas Edison made the first motion picture camera. So a very important innovator as well. And he had a competitor. At first, they were partners, and then they became competitors. And this man is now world famous because of Elon Musk. So who was the competitor of Thomas Edison?
Tesla.
Absolutely, Tesla. And he, Nikola Tesla, I think from Croatia, he helped develop the AC electrical delivery system, and direct competition, because Edison did the DC and Tesla did the AC, and they never really worked well together. Now, let's look at another innovation that's been rather important since the beginning of the 20th century. That looks like a toy today, doesn't it? But Henry Ford was an American industrialist and a business magnate, and this is a photograph with him on his first car. But now I'm going to show you something fun and surprising. All of you Latvians, get ready to be proud. This is August Krasniņš, a Latvian engineer and inventor who founded the Krasniņš Automobile Company in 1901, 2 years before Henry Ford. Now, of course, what other form of transportation needed to be created also in the first decade of the 20th century? We know it was flight, the airplanes. And some of the first jalopies that were used and they tried to make fly were just crazy, because there was always failures. And there were many times that the Wright brothers tried to get that plane to fly and it would just crash. Now, There's an innovation that's come to that for missionary work. And this began really in the 50s. And that's missionaries who had been pilots in World War II wanted to use their gifts and talents. And so Wycliffe, Bible translators, and Missionary Aviation Fellowship, they began to use airplanes for missionary work in remote places of the world. So again, there is innovation, taking an invention and enhancing its usage. Of course, this is important, and in the light of our recent pandemic, we can see the importance of vaccinations. Now, it's a controversial topic, but Fleming was a Scottish biologist and a pharmacologist who discovered penicillin. How many millions of lives have been saved because of his imagination, creativity, his training, his dedication? So it began the era of antibiotics and has been widely recognized as one of the greatest advances in medicine of all time. Of course, the internet has changed everyone's life. Are some of you young enough that you've always had the internet? Yeah, there's one and two, always had the internet. I mean, I didn't understand the internet until after my first 20 years of ministry. And then I still didn't understand it. And to be honest, I still don't. I have all sorts of trouble with the internet. But it started in the 60s as a way for government researchers to share information. And now millions, billions of computers are connected. Well, of course, what changed the way we all travel? GPS. And this was a system that was developed by military to identify specific geographical spots of this, that, or the other. But now, tens of thousands every year in fuel costs and time are saved. Now, I think in the 20th century, there have been a handful of really great creative inventors and innovators. And they're not all nice guys, but they certainly were effective. And one of them is Steve Jobs. Innovation distinguishes between a leader and a follower. That's his quote. Distinguishes between a leader and a follower. And I think that's extremely important. I've been to some churches where the pastor's been there many years, but the service looks just like it looked 25 years ago. And the church hasn't grown. In that period, you can see the relationship between the lack of innovation, the lack of creativity, and the stagnation that Natalie spoke about earlier. Did you speak about stagnation, or did someone else? Oh, someone.
I think I said stagnant.
Ah, so I heard you say it, yeah. Okay, so listen to something that Steve Jobs wrote, Isaacson wrote a biography of Jobs about that thick, and I was thoroughly fascinated by it. And in there he says that Jobs says, innovation comes from people meeting up in the hallway or calling each other at 10:30 at night with a new idea, or because they realize something that shoots holes in how we've been thinking about a problem. He's saying most of these great ideas and the innovation comes not between, 8 and 5 in the office, in the formal settings. It's the all of a sudden you get the right people in the room or the right people on the call or on the Zoom. And now you have something innovative and you can meet some needs and solve some problems. So how many of you have iPhones? Yeah. When it first came out, I thought I could never afford one of those. But within about 6 or 8 months, I figured out a way that I could get one. And I've had one ever since. And of course, you can have a Samsung or something else, Galaxy. And that's fine too, but it's the whole idea. This iPhone concept revolutionized the world. And it even revolutionized the way we go to the European Leadership Forum. Because just a few years ago, when you registered, you were given a notebook about this thick, huge, with all of the outlines to the plenaries, all the outlines to the lectures. You remember those, Sasha? Goodness. And I couldn't even take them home with me. They weighed more than my suitcase. So, you know, here, I hope nobody's looking. You kind of throw it away because you can't, you know, I have to pay $150 to check another suitcase. It's interesting that Natalie mentioned shepherding. I like what Churchill said about this. He said, without tradition, art is a flock of sheep without a shepherd. So foundation, some framework. But without innovation, it's a corpse. Oh man, he was good with words. So here we are again. Where are we in this section here? We're down on the bottom at innovation. Right before that is evaluation. And so I just want to say, of course, in the first chapter of the Bible where God created the heavens and the earth, and then first day, second day, third day, fourth day, what did God say after each day? It's good. And then finally, very good. What is he doing? He's evaluating what he has invented and what he has created. And that always should be true about what we're doing with our own stuff. And then the innovation leads to change.